How's Dad? Starring Nicole and Jemmy and Maria QK.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mother Knows Death. Let's get started with the story of the week.
So, a man with Britain's largest penis has revealed that he won't be getting size reduction surgery. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about that interactive map of all the penis sizes around the world. And it turns out that the UK was pretty high on the list. They, you know, did not have a size that was considered good by many people. This guy's size, however, is more than double of the UK's average penis size, which is over 12 inches. Something they were in the pictures of this article holding up a ruler, and I couldn't help but find it comical.
It's actually really not funny.
Yeah.
Like this is probably ruins his life. And I mean, think about this. Like the average female vagina is 2 to 5 inches. So if you have a 12 inch penis, like, would scare the shit out of me. Not to mention that it's not just that long, but it's like double thick normal size of a penis. Like that wouldn't be fun. It would be painful, right? And then on top of that, you have to think that there's just like a lot of different things to think about. Like, so he has this, right? He's on a first date with somebody. He's on a second date with somebody. Like, you have to tell somebody. You can't just, like, let them feel it and figure it out. Like, come on. It's just so much different than anything.
Is there a whole episode about Sex and the City with this? And, like, Samantha dates this guy with a huge penis.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
And
she ends up being like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah. And this is like, extra, extra, extra huge. Like, it's just so the procedure that he was talking about is called a coreplasty, which is when they reduce the size of the penis, and they do that in certain cases of cancer or if a patient has something called Peyronie's disease. But they don't really want to do it on this guy because there's not really much studies that say that he's just gonna, you can't just like make it smaller without having like a lot of other problems that might come with it, including not being able to really maintain an erection ever again. So he doesn't really want that to happen either. I just think a lot of, and you look at the guy, he's just like a regular average looking dude. It kind of sucks, honestly.
Yeah, I can't imagine how, I understand 100% why he doesn't want to get this procedure done. A, it's really expensive. Also, there are just so many complications that could go wrong. It does suck from a social perspective, right? I mean, even physical. He was saying sometimes when he wears condoms, it hurts so badly because he can't find one that appropriately fits his size. So that's something to consider, you know, but he's afraid to change it.
Cause he got kicked out of yoga class because people in his class thought that he was like getting a hard on while he was doing yoga.
And that's really unfortunate. I mean, it's kind of, I guess this is like a rare thing because we don't really hear about it. And obviously, women always are joking that they want really large penises. But, you know, we take it to the extreme and we see this guy and I kind of feel bad for him because he says he has a hard time dating. And then, you know, I didn't even think about that, about the yoga thing where people, just because of his bulge size, people just probably think he's hard all the time, which could be really embarrassing. And he's just trying to be a normal guy and live his life.
He said he went on a date and some girl like tricked him into going on his OnlyFans page. Like he just was innocently on a date with this person who so happened to like try to exploit him because of his penis size, which is actually messed up. Cause
that's,
I was going to say, like, he should, like, if he really wanted to get money for the surgery and stuff, like, obviously he could do something like OnlyFans, but like, why should that chick make money off him? You know what I mean? That's not cool.
No, like if, yeah. I mean, not everybody's comfortable, I guess, doing some type of sex work. But, you know, if he's already out there, he was on some TV show called My Massive Cock, where he talked to some surgery, like urologist expert about the surgery. So, you know, he's already out there that this is the thing. So if you're shamelessly out there that this is something you go through, maybe you should try to take the next steps to monetize off of it. He could be an OnlyFans creator. He could probably even be a dildo model, seriously, because I know that's a thing where they take,
I don't
molds
know anybody that wants
it,
but who wants one that big? Like, it just
people,
it seems
people
like
want
silly
one that big. They, have you seen stores what they sell there? so
he actually has a book coming out, and it's called A Long Story Life with One of the World's Largest Penises. So he is documenting his life in a book. I think I do think it's like something that you don't hear of. And all the guys that are listening right now are probably like, yeah, like, why are you complaining? This is not a problem to have. But it is just, I really think it is.
Like all the ones that say they're 7 inches, but we know from the data that they're really fives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If it's any way how they describe their height, that's always 5 inches off. I'm sure it is with their penis size as well.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, I think this is cool from a medical perspective that this is a thing, but it also sucks that he has to go through life just trying to be a normal guy. And then, you know, people are just always thinking he's aroused and probably thinking he's a creep when he's like, no, I'm just literally standing here. This is just what I was born with. So
I am going to write about this in the Gross Room within the next couple weeks. And it's an actual case of a surgery that a person did get this kind of a surgery done in order to reduce the size of their penis. And when you see the before picture of their penis, you will be like, oh my God. Like, it just, you can't even physically think that it would like fit inside of a person. It's so big. It's insane looking.
That's why, like, and I wasn't trying to make fun of him with the ruler comment. I was just saying, when you put that in perspective, you're just like, holy shit, you know?
But it doesn't even really give it the pure feeling of it, because it doesn't show how wide it is.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a ruler's kind of skinny, but then when you think about it being so wide, it's just like, oh my God.
Well, maybe if he's comfortable with it, he could take this as an art. I'm sure he would make a killing doing something with it, so.
Well, the girl we talked about a couple weeks ago was, she had the, what was her name? The Two Pussy Princess?
Oh, yeah.
She had that. She had an OnlyFans account.
That was genius marketing. I can't get over it.
It is. Like, I'm sure somebody could do some marketing for him, but she was making... Wasn't she making like $2 million a year or some shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like in Australian money. Yeah. Like it's crazy, right?
Yeah. That's a pretty good salary. So.
All right. Let's get into celebrity news.
So before actor Giancarlo Esposito got his starring role on Breaking Bad, he had considered plotting his own murder because his financial situation was so bad. So he had been struggling, as, you know, most Hollywood actors do before their big break, and considered the idea of plotting his own murder because he had 4 kids and a wife and he was scared he couldn't financially support them. So he thought by plotting his own murder, they would at least be able to get an insurance payout, because as we know, suicides aren't covered in most life insurance policies. So he ran this idea by his wife and she did not seem into it at all. So he chose ultimately not to do it because he didn't want his family dealing with that lifelong trauma. And like, let's say, what if he was caught? They wouldn't have got it either. So you just did it for nothing, right?
Do people actually do this? Is this like something that we shouldn't always take every murder at face value because it's possible that someone hired someone to kill them?
We literally just wrote about a hit this week. So I would say...
Yeah, but no, but that was to hit someone else, not
themselves. No, I know that. But like I'm saying, every single murder should be looked at. We know this from true crime. There's always something else behind it.
I just can't imagine how these conversations go down when you go to a person and ask them to either kill you, hi, can you kill me, or kill your wife or whatever. Like, how does that come up in a conversation? It's so dark. How could you even trust someone to say something like that out loud?
Also, if my husband was coming to me and saying, I think I'm going to hire somebody to kill me to get you guys money, I'd just be like, you need psychiatric help. I just don't know what else to say.
Well, they are divorced now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that has something to do with it.
I mean, whatever. So soon after, he got the role on Breaking Bad, which then turned into an even bigger role on Better Call Saul, which is one of my favorite shows ever. So I really think this guy is a phenomenal actor, and now he's a producer. So he's making an absolute killing. I mean, those two shows alone were making up a ton of money, and he has all these other shows coming out now.
I love hearing stories about people that they had like this shitty stuff happen to them, and then they didn't go like rock bottom, or they even did. I mean, that's pretty rock bottom, right? But still survived through it and got through it, and then good things happened for them.
Yeah.
All right. So do you remember, I used to watch a show all the time, Designing Women.
Yeah, of course I watched Designing Women.
I should start watching that again. Is that on like Netflix or something?
I don't know.
It's really good. I think it was like written really well and it was really funny.
Remember Lifetime used to have the most spectacular lineup of all? It was like Designing Women, The Nanny, Golden Girls, and Will and Grace.
Yeah.
That was my golden standard of television.
It really is, because you could just watch it like 4 hours in a row. So Delta Burke, she's beautiful woman from that show. But I always remember it was like always a big deal in the news that she struggled from her weight and people were obsessed with her weight.
Yeah. I mean, as people are now, it's something that's just never going to go away. So she has recently said that she tried crystal meth once so she could try to lose weight. So when she was at an acting school in London, she had been prescribed a weight loss pill, but found out when she came to the U.S. that they weren't legal there. So she had landed a role in the TV show Filthy Rich. I've never watched that one, but I know of it. Did you watch that?
No, I didn't.
So she got this role in 1982 on Filthy Rich, and her coworker suggested that she try meth to curb her appetite. So she said, "They told me, you chop it up, you snort," and I said, "I don't want to snort it," so I put it in cranberry juice and drank it, and I wouldn't eat for 5 days.
Oh my God, that's nuts.
I can't even believe that.
So these pills that she was given are called Black Beauties, and it's speed, whatever, and they were originally designed like in the 60s and 70s for soldiers, actually, to keep them alert and awake for combat for such a long time when they were in active combat. And then it turned out that people weren't eating and getting hungry on it. So then it turned into a weight loss pill. And then eventually it got banned. It actually, before it was a prescription, it was just like you can buy it anywhere. And then it became a prescription and now it's gone, right? And that's why she decided to do meth. But it's this, the Black Beauty is essentially like the kind of the same stuff as Adderall. And things are so much different now than they were when Delta Burke was like a huge famous star. And imagine, like, she's like strikingly beautiful,
yeah,
right?
Stunning.
And people just like were constantly on her because she wasn't like a size two, you know? And some people, like myself included, like I just can't be a size two. I don't, even if I lose weight, gain weight, like I'm comfortable being like a size 10 or 12. Like that's where I could be comfortable and still eat when I want to, but like I just can't. Like, and I've been a size 6, but like I can't maintain it unless I starve myself and I'm not living my life like that.
Even when I weighed 115 pounds when I was 18 years old, I was still a size 6. Like some people's bodies and skeletons just are not set up for that. So
yeah, and it's a shame because she seems like she was like really sweet and like cute. Really, I don't know. I just really love her, you know. So it really does suck that she had to go through that and then ended up having some crazy drug problem after that, right? Like, I mean, that could ruin your teeth, permanently ruin your teeth. You can need to get bone grafts in your jaw and shit from that. It's nuts.
Yeah, and she said that the criticism against her weight, you know, that's why she was so desperate to try anything, because the criticism was so bad and it was really taking a toll on her mental health, and that's why she ended up quitting Designing Women, which sucks.
Yeah,
it's like
it
you're doing something seemingly you love. I mean, that's an iconic role she had, you know, and you can't even enjoy it because people are such assholes.
I know. All right, let's get into freak accidents.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, a man was working on an industrial shredder when he fell in. He was hanging on the machine for nearly a whole minute before someone heard him screaming, and then coworkers stepped in to help him, got him to safety. As a result, though, both of his legs were amputated below his knee.
When do you think is a situation or a job that you would ever need a paper shredder that a person can fit into? Like what kind of papers?
I don't know. And you know what? My mistake in researching this was I meant to look up the picture, like a picture of one, because I just can't fathom what it looks like. And I just don't understand in any case why you would need one that large.
Unless, you know what, though? I know that there's companies like that you can bring bulk, like if you have an office that you want to get rid of a ton of paper, they do it rather than just using the individual machines. Maybe that's what it is, like so they could throw large amounts in of paper at once or something. Well, regardless, I think he has a really good attitude.
A really good attitude.
His jokes are kind of hilarious, actually.
Yeah, so despite this absolutely horrific accident, you know, he's still busting his wife's balls. He says, he's still taller than her, and at least she doesn't have to cut his toenails now. So I don't know.
I love that. Like, it's just, what are you going to do at that point? Like, I think sometimes if you go through such a horrific experience like that, like, you automatic, especially both of your legs, like, you can completely bleed out from that. He's probably so happy that he's alive and didn't die. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he's going to remain in, he's still in the hospital. He's going to remain in a wheelchair, and he's being fitted for prosthetic legs. So they're trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to navigate life. But after this, but at least he's having somewhat of a positive attitude, and it's really fortunate that nothing worse happened.
All right. Speaking of a person getting their leg.
Oh my God. So a guy in Florida ran over an 11-foot alligator to save his neighbor's life. So this guy was just driving in his neighborhood and noticed his neighbor laying on the ground waving his arms, and then saw that a gator was grabbing onto his leg. So this guy had just, you know, been out in their neighborhood walking his dogs when this gator came out of a pond and just, like, attacked him. So the guy ended up running over the alligator to try to save his life, but the gator didn't die, but it scared him enough to let go and run back into the water.
I'm sure it died. Like, it had to get crushed, right? Like,
I actually couldn't believe that it was able to move off of the situation, but I guess they're hefty creatures, you know, so.
Well, I think one important point to the story is that, because I'm going to be going on a trip soon where I am going to travel and see, like, animals and be in a terrain that I've never been in before, right? And so I was talking to Pop-Pop last night, and he was like, well, Cole, don't get out of the car and try to feed a moose. He said a moose. Like, I was like, why would I get out of a car and feed a moose, Dad? Like, they're like, taller than a car.
Because, like,
he's just like, oh.
We read all these stories of people doing dumb shit. I just heard a story today where these, like, teenagers climbed on up a tree and grabbed a baby bear off a tree to take selfies with it.
What?
How stupid are you?
That was another thing Pop-Up said. He's like, yeah, and those bears, they could. And I was like, yeah, Dad, I'm going to go feed a bear. I'm going to get out of my car and go, like, feed a
bear
and a buffalo.
People do it, which is why he's thinking about it. We know. We've covered stories of people doing dumb shit like that.
But that's what they were saying. Like, if you're near an animal and it looks at you and, like, you could see that it's looking at you, then you're too close to it.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess, in Florida, like, I don't live in Florida, so I don't know, but apparently, like, there's alligators around, right?
Yeah, everywhere.
Which is, it's so nuts.
Wasn't that one time we were staying in South Carolina, there was, we were in that, like, development, and we got home from shopping, and there was just a gator on the back porch.
Oh, yeah, it was in the back porch. Like, yeah, that was so,
like,
crazy.
We go in the front door, and the back door was, like, a sliding glass door, and you just see it chilling out there from in the house.
Yeah. I mean, Florida people just think that that's normal, but for us, it's like, what the fuck is happening?
No,
right,
thank
now?
You. This episode is brought to you by CrimeCon.
Guys, we are so excited to go to CrimeCon. My lecture is going to be so much fun.
Yeah, it's going to be really awesome. And I don't know if you guys just saw their newsletter, but they have just announced tickets are for sale for their kickoff party. So not everybody can go to this. It's a separately ticketed event, and you get to hang out with us, creators, speakers, other content creators that are going to be there, VIP badge holders. So this is a really exciting opportunity. Maybe if there's a speaker you wanted to meet, you know, this is your chance to, like, buy him a drink or just smooze and mingle up. You know, we'll be there. So we're really excited for that. And every week they're announcing new speakers. Every single time I see the Instagram post, I freak out and send, you know, I screenshot everything and I send it to you before you even have a chance to look at it. So you want to make sure to follow them at CrimeCon for all the latest announcements. And you especially want their newsletter so you don't miss out on special ticketed events like the welcome party or the sip and draw. So you can go to crimecon.com/email and sign up for their free mailing list, or always follow them on Instagram at CrimeCon.
Thanks, CrimeCon. Can't wait to see you guys there. All right, let's talk about some violent crime.
So we have a pretty interesting DNA case for everybody today. Goes back a couple decades. So 40 years ago on Christmas Eve, this baby was found by two young boys playing in a stream in the woods in New Jersey. The newborn, with her umbilical cord still attached, was wrapped inside of a towel and inside of a plastic bag. coroner determined that it was homicide and that the baby had died before being put in the bag. So for years, they didn't know anything about this case at all. They, you know, were going down false leads. They did determine that it had to be a local because of where the body was placed. So that was really the only information they had for years, which what are you going to do with that, right? How many people live in an area?
Yeah, exactly.
So for decades, it remained a cold case until police established a DNA profile in 2014. So initially, the DNA linked the child to a man that had died by suicide years before. This, again, was kind of a path going nowhere. By interviewing this guy's loved ones and friends, they didn't believe that he knew of the child, or he never spoke about the child, so they really still didn't have any idea what was going on. And then eventually, DNA led them to a 57-year-old woman who was living in South Carolina. So this woman that they found, it's the mother of the baby. They determined she was 17 years old at the time the child was born, and she had placed her in the woods and killed her. So what's really disturbing for me about this is that this lady is 17 years old, puts her newborn to die, and then, you know, through Facebook, they see she's married, she has other sons, she's a loving grandmother, she's going to weddings and baseball games and just kind of living this normal life despite doing this horrible thing as a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions I have. Like, you're saying that the baby was killed before it was put in the bag?
Yeah.
Did they say how the baby was killed?
No.
Like, because I'm just curious about that. Like, is it possible that she just gave birth and kind of freaked out? And I mean, she was a minor when that happened.
Yeah.
So in theory, like, where were her parents? Was she able? Like, there's just a lot more to the story than just judging right off the bat. Because let's say you're 17 years old, you're in high school, like your parents aren't supportive of this. You have this baby like in a bathroom. It's not breathing when it's born. Like, unless there was just flat out evidence that the kid was like beat or something with a shoe or a stick or something, right? I don't know, because they don't really say that. And regardless, like you shouldn't put your kid in the trash. And but 17 year olds freak out sometimes, and they don't. You hear this time and time again, and you just don't know what the situation was at the time. I don't necessarily want to just like sit here and judge that, not having like a lot of the information. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And on top of
that,
it's like, oh, the guy didn't know. This is like the burden of being a woman, right? Like, it's like the guy didn't know anything about it. So like, he's cool. I mean, he's dead or
well,
whatever, but
still.
He must
have not
like,
been cool, because he was clearly in a place to kill himself years before. So,
and you don't know, like, maybe he did know about it. Maybe he was involved with it and he's been carrying that burden. And maybe that was leading to his depression. Like, you just don't, like, listen, if you do some nasty shit like that, you're not going to tell your family about it, right? Like,
no, obviously
people
not.
Have secrets. So I am curious to, like, to see if this, I mean, this should go on trial and stuff, because I want to know. I mean, she can't, she might not be, like, such a terrible person if she's, like, this, like, mom with two kids and a wife and a grandmom and all this stuff. Like, it could have been just, like, something.
Well, it's not going on trial. She's been convicted of manslaughter and she's going to jail for a year. She was arrested last April.
But like, what are the circumstances?
They didn't
like,
really they elaborate. They just.
Because, yeah, like I wanted to know. And really, like, she's only going to jail for a year. So like, I feel like it's not really that bad. Right.
I don't know. Like, there's no.
Like, if you kill a baby, that's like more than 1 year of jail time. I feel like it's like kind of like a smack on the wrist kind of thing for
well,
whatever they
determine.
Because
it's manslaughter. Like, they know she didn't. Right. So it's not first degree murder. So we know based on that alone, she didn't beat the child or whatever. Like, the manslaughter is literally.
She had it and she didn't get medical attention.
No,
basically.
Manslaughter is literally like death due to negligence. So that either means she had the baby and it died due to something like that, or something else happened. We don't really know for sure. But it's kind of crazy that 4 decades have gone by and now they're able to connect the baby to her.
Listen, she's known about this for this whole time. Like, she's probably has eaten a hole in her stomach knowing that this day was going to come. And especially with, you know, I think there was like this period of time where people are like, oh, I got away with something. And then all of a sudden this thing called DNA happened and now people are all shit in their pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and she might not even necessarily been trying to, like, get away with it like many people do, but, you know, she might have thought she did the right thing at the time, but even though it clearly wasn't the right time, but you don't know what was going on in her head. She was 17 years old. I think the police are most disturbed by it because they're like, of all the resources that were available at that time, this is not how it had to go down, basically. But you don't know what's going through someone's head.
In 1984, like, I'm just saying, like, if let's say she's 17 years old and is home with, like, completely abusive parents that, like, and she was scared that she was going to get hurt or anything. Like, I mean, it's like I said, without the information, you don't know. Because if she didn't tell her parents, let's say, and then let's say she gives birth in a bathroom and the baby's born and, like, has the cord wrapped around its neck or something, right? And it's not breathing, but, like, in a hospital situation, the baby would have survived. Like, she's already in this, like, crisis situation. She's 17. She doesn't know what to do. But there's just a big difference between a scenario like that versus you took it out and you, like, stabbed it to kill it and then put it in a bag. There's just a difference to me. You know what I mean?
And I agree with that. I mean, we don't have more specific information because the article we're reporting on does not, but clearly they had more information because that's how they came up with her conviction. So I'm more coming at it as, like, imagine that being your mother and finding that out, and, like, how would you feel and how would you repair as a family from that? And I guess it depends on the circumstances, if it was an abusive situation or whatever happened, but there must be some kind of guilt you feel as a family member, like, this child that was my sibling died and I've lived this full life and have my own kids and whatever. So I definitely just think it's a very fascinating story and really cool from a DNA perspective of how they've taken a case that was cold for so long and taken it back to this lady.
All right, let's get into medical news.
So a new survey found that 1 in 4 teenagers between 13 and 17 say they plan to get cosmetic surgery to combat aging appearance. So of course they're attributing this desire to social media, which, duh.
Like,
of course. So
what was most shocking is what they found out with the boys.
Yeah, so they said, surprisingly, boys were more likely to let the fear of aging get to them. 1 in 5 or 20% said they planned on cosmetic surgery compared to just 17% of girls.
That's just was, like, a little bit shocking to me, honestly.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Like,
but
boys,
you know,
care about that? I don't know any men that care about that.
Yeah, but the stereotypical idea we have of a man is changing because, you know, this generation is the first generation that's been exposed to social media for the entirety of their life, whereas, like, you didn't have social media until your, what, late 20s, early 30s, and I didn't have it until I was in high school. So this is the first generation we're really seeing where they've had it from childhood through their entire life and how it's affecting their mindset.
This is what's really crazy about it. So they're saying, if you surveyed every person living in America, only 6% of people would say that they would want to get plastic surgery.
I don't think that's true at all.
I don't know. Like, it.
And does that include, like, Botox and filler? I feel like almost.
I think they were saying surgery.
Okay, so just surgery, not even, like, injections.
But they're saying it's, I do think it's true because I can't think of one man that I know that is like, yeah, I'm going to get a facelift when I get older. Like, think about all of our uncles and just, like, the men in our life, like, regular dudes that just, like, are around. I just don't see that in real life.
No,
but, like, younger guys,
I'm saying of all of America, if you tallied everybody, I don't think that percentage is 6%, maybe for cosmetic surgery, but not for cosmetic procedures in general, if you're including fillers and Botox and Kybella, things like that. But I think what we understand as, like, the male standard, which is, like, husky, not going to touch your face, is something that's changing because of social media. So, of course, your uncle that's 90 is not going to say he's going to get a facelift. And my husband, who's 32, also will not get a facelift. But that's not to say that my future child, who's going to grow up in the age of social media forever, isn't going to be swayed a certain way because they're used to everything 100% being based off of appearance. Whereas before, it was not.
Gross. All right. Speaking of appearance, let's talk about nice looking vaginas.
So vagina makeovers are booming, hitting the markets.
So we just talked about last week getting salmon sperm injected into your vagina to make it like plumper.
Yeah. So this Daily Mail.
Juicy Lucy.
So this Daily Mail article is outlining the 5 best techniques, breaking it down by category. So for toned vaginas, they're saying you could get as MZella high intensity electromagnetic muscle stimulation, which is essentially a machine that does 11,000 like Kegels on you at one time. So Kegel, explain
Kegels.
This is
probably the only one that I would like be down with because it doesn't seem like it would hurt.
But how like, hard is it to just sit in your chair and do Kegels? Like you could literally do it all the time.
11,000?
Not 11,000. I'm just saying. No, you if can you start do it all the time. Your whole life, you shouldn't need to go in the chair.
The thing is though, like when you do Kegels, you kind of like I can't be talking right now and doing that. Like you need to kind of concentrate. And what? How are you just going to sit there for hours and do that?
Why do you need to sit there and concentrate?
Because how else, like you have to do it all the time. If you're going to do it for 5 minutes in a row, then you have to like make sure you're doing that. Because if you're talking, you're going to be like, oh, I just didn't do them. Like
I beg to differ.
It's like walking and chewing gum at the same time.
Yeah, I think you could do them and not have to really pay attention. You just do it.
Well, these other ones are like, sound like they hurt.
Yeah, so.
And who wants that?
So number 2 is plumper lady bits and bladder control. So that they're suggesting radio frequency vaginal remodeling. So radio frequency heat at a relatively comfortable temperature.
Oh, that's the wand one?
Gently ramps up collagen. Yeah,
hot dildo.
Literally none of these seem comfortable at all, except maybe the Kegel. I mean, Kegels aren't really like a comfortable thing to do. They're just the easiest out of this list. But yeah, the last one, which really disturbs me, is for labia cushioning, is getting vulva fillers. That sounds so painful.
And you have to put up a tampon that's filled with numbing cream.
Yeah, like
and they said it like still hurts. And I had laser treatment down there, and it fucking hurt. It hurts so bad. I didn't have like numbing cream or anything, and I'm like, I can't imagine getting shots down there. And like, no thanks.
You know, one time a couple years ago, I was invited to this like woman's wellness thing for influencers, and they were offering fajacials, which is
God.
A facial for your vagina. And I was like, I think I'm good. I don't need it.
They were doing it there, like you would have had to take off your pants and get it done there.
It was like some wellness retreat thing.
That's the dumbest shit I ever heard.
I didn't go to it because I thought it was ridiculous. And I sent it to my friend and she was so interested. Like, I'm not doing
this. I mean, I'm interested that people do that. I want to know what it's all about. But like, come on. Especially like in a public setting. Like, that's something. No thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the postcoital flu.
Experts say men could be allergic to their own orgasms. And there are 7 types of symptoms. So they're calling it post-orgasmic illness syndrome or postcoital flu. So some men experience headaches, burning eyes, running nose within minutes to hours after ejaculation, while others can have sore throat, fever, muscle weakness, and fatigue. And some of the most extreme symptoms could be palpitations or incoherent speech.
They think that there's only been a couple cases, like 60 cases in the past couple, 20 years of them like researching this and everything. But they also said that it could be much higher because if men were feeling something like this, they probably wouldn't go to the doctor to figure out why. They might be embarrassed or they might just not ever put 2 and 2 together. But they think it could actually be an autoimmune response that you're kind of allergic to your own ejaculation. It's pretty nuts.
So the articles, this is, I just have to say this term because I was blown away by it. So the symptoms can be triggered by intercourse, masturbation, or even spontaneous nocturnal ejaculation.
Oh, I hate that word.
So it's basically a wet dream or if you ejaculate in your sleep spontaneously. So kind of gross, but
all right.
Moving on. So in August of 2022, a family had visited a Wendy's in Michigan after their daughter's softball practice, you know, that's something that could very easily happen to you. It seems
I know. That's exactly why I thought about it. I was like, this is like, you know, when you're doing like we're hardcore in softball season right now. So it's just like get home from school, go to softball, and then all of a sudden it's 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we're like, oh shit, we gotta eat. Like, let's just grab something real quick.
Yeah, so this 11-year-old girl had chicken nuggets, a burger, and fries. Days later, she became seriously ill with nausea, fever, stomach pain, diarrhea. The symptoms kept getting worse. Her mother found blood in her stool, so they brought her to the hospital. She was initially discharged and then had to go right back in, where she was put on dialysis. And she was treated for, you say this,
Shiga toxin from E. coli. So let me tell you about that. When you, in your poop, in most people's poop, they have a bacteria called E. coli. And it's just like, usually doesn't cause major problems, but some strains of it can have a toxin in it, which can make people really sick, like in this little girl's case. So the most common cause of bacterial infections in the urinary tract, like urinary tract infections in females, is from E. coli bacteria, actually, from improper wiping. So fecal bacteria gets into the urethra somehow, and that's what causes those infections. But it doesn't cause people to, like, you just have painful urination and that's it, and then you take antibiotics and it goes away. But in this case, this particular bacteria had this toxin that was releasing and just causing her to be so, so sick. It's related to having bloody diarrhea. And with little kids, they could get something that's called hemolytic uremic syndrome, which is when this toxin attacks the kidneys. And she had this happen to her. Unfortunately, she was in the ICU. It's really crazy. And one of the biggest ways that you can get something like this is from, like I said, we were talking about this, what, last week, the feek, when
Christina was Applegate.
Saying, Christina Applegate, yeah, was saying that she ate poop. It's the same thing. Like, it's a fecal oral transmission, and it could happen. You can get it from eating certain kinds of meat, but you also can get it if a person has it on their hands and doesn't clean the lettuce correctly. But they're saying that that's how it gets into the meat, is because when a cow is slaughtered, right? Like, it's kind of hard to do that without maybe sometimes nicking a bowel or something and mixing it with poop. So that's why you have to make sure that you cook things very well in order to kill that kind of bacteria. And it's importantly to do it with like burgers, because they're made out of ground meat, and it just, the ground meat, like, increases the surface area where this bacteria could kind of harbor and just be even worse. So that's why it's really important, if you have a burger or something, that you really cook it all the way through in order to kill that, if there is some bacteria that's kind of lingering from the slaughterhouse.
Yeah. And then to make matters worse, you know, a month before this, 17 health code violations were found at this Wendy's, which included meat being stored at the improper temperature, improper hand washing, moldy strawberries, tomatoes, and a day old chili being left out of the fridge. So these are really inexcusable offenses, in my opinion. You have to learn how to properly store meats and everything.
Teenagers that are running,
yeah, well, that's what I was gonna say. Like, you have to have a manager that cares, and most of the time we see this at fast food places because they pay like shit, and the people that work there, you know, don't really care as much, because it's either like high school students or just people that don't really care. So we see this a lot in industries like,
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it worries me, like, because it's kind of, when you go to these places, it's like out of sight, out of mind. And who's, like, I used to work at Boston Market when it was called Boston Chicken. And our managers were like kind of losers, like, and just didn't give a shit what was going on. You know what
and
I mean?
And that's not to say that that's everywhere, but that's generally what we
see. I've also had people that, like, totally take their job almost way too seriously. Yeah. You're like, relax.
But
right?
I'd rather have the person that takes seriously. So, you know, you might think they're annoying or whatever, but you don't want to get sick, and you certainly don't want to get other people sick.
All right, other death news.
So in 2022, an Arizona mother contacted police after finding a jawbone in her son's rock collection. So they didn't say how old their son was. I'm just thinking, like, if he's a little kid, you're like, okay, this is really weird, whatever. And then if you have a teenage boy, you're like, what the fuck? So they don't know where the bone came from. So They could tell the bone was really old, but they had a really difficult time identifying it. So these investigators in Arizona recruited students from Ramapo College in New Jersey to help solve the case. So students in a boot camp program in the school's Investigative Genetic Genealogy Center were able to link the bone to a Marine who had gone missing in California in the 50s, and they tested his DNA from the jawbone to his daughter's, and it confirmed the match.
Yeah, that's so, it's kind of cool,
it's
honestly.
It's very impressive.
It's said that he disappeared during a training flight, so I wonder if, like, just the remains kind of ended up in some hike, like over some wooded area or something where there was the kid was on a hike collecting rocks and just kind of picked it up.
Yeah, it's
really kind
cool.
of amazing.
Well,
like
it kind of leads into our next story too.
Yeah, this is really, see, I wonder about this because these people were walking on a beach. What was the name of the beach called?
The beach was Dunraven Bay, a beach at Dunraven Bay.
And they came across bones. They thought that they were animal bones and they took them home. And then a couple people in their family were like, I don't know, man, they look human.
So it was, and then it was this 39-year-old guy. He was just taking a walk with his dogs and his 7-year-old son. So they found the bones, brought him home. And the guy's mom was like, I don't think this is what you think it is.
Yeah. She was just like, they don't look like any animal bones to me. And then they asked, I guess they were friends with like a doctor and a vet. And they were like, yeah, they're not. So finally they brought them to the police, and it turns out that they were human bones, and I guess there was some of the beach or washed away or something and exposed a lot of human bones over the past couple of years, right?
Yeah, there's just been, you know, natural erosion and everything. So basically what they think happened is that, well, they confirmed they were ancient remains, so they think that at some point in either the 16th, 17th, or 18th century, there was a shipwreck which killed a bunch of people. And
so cool.
Their bones just kind of got like lodged in the sand, but over years of erosion and with the water and everything, it was covered. And slowly they've been coming up over like the last couple of years. And so they said last month, even remains were found when an ancient wall had collapsed. So, and they found like leg bones sticking out of a cliff and stuff. So,
yeah, it's cool. When people find these, like, can they keep them? Because at this point, like, it's not a forensic investigation or anything. It's unless they're going to put them on display or do some kind of burial.
Yeah, like, they might not want people to keep them just because, you know, researchers might want to look into them. I'm thinking, like, we have the Penn Museum near us, right? Where they do all of this stuff with bones. So a museum like that might want that to study the conditions of the time or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I mean, that's so long ago. Like, it's kind of cool to say, like, wow, this person's this old and I was holding their bones in my hand.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Don't you think it's an anthropologist's dream to get something like this?
Yeah, actually.
So it is really cool. But okay, on to question of the day. Every Friday at the @MotherKnowsDeath Instagram, you guys can ask a question. We put it in the story, so ask whatever you want. So first, what are your views on medical aid in dying?
Oh, like you, like medical assistant?
Yeah, I would say
or something.
Yeah.
I think if you want to die, that's fine. Like you should be in charge of your own life. But I wouldn't, like, I don't have a problem with it. I don't care. As long as it's not abused, because I feel like everything has the potential to be abused. And just to make sure that the person's that making that decision is of sound mind to be making that decision instead of, you know, like that's like a last minute resort. I just don't know where you draw the line as far as like what's considered. Because wasn't there just a case in maybe Canada where, I'm not sure if it was Canada, but I think it was, that a person just decided to take their own life in this situation because they were just really depressed.
I just heard this about this girl. I think she's like my age or in her early 30s. She's just like, I just don't want to get old. So she's doing it. And I don't think that's a good excuse. I think if you have serious depression or mental issue going on.
Well, don't you think that she has serious depression if she's saying that? That's like not normal.
I don't know. Like what the articles I'm reading, you know, they could very well not be properly researched. I'm just saying, like, in my opinion, I would do it if I had a terminal illness or something along those lines. But if people want to just...
But some people consider, like, depression a terminal illness.
Yeah, I understand, like, that.
There's people that get treated and do everything and they just can't ever recover from it. So, whatever. Like I say with everything else, like, you do you. Yeah. I don't care what you do as long as it doesn't affect me.
Are you planning to do book signings in any other cities?
Well, I am in Nashville at Crime Con.
Yes.
I will be doing book signing. Other than that, no, I don't. But I believe that I will be talking to someone in Vegas shortly to possibly be setting up one to do out there. But that's not in stone yet.
Well, you guys can go.
But I'm into it. Yeah.
If you go on our website, thedoramater.com/book, there's a little button that says, like, want to get your book signed. And if you click on it, you could order a book plate sticker. So those can just be, you know, just a signature, or you can get them personalized. So it's not quite the same as getting your book directly signed, but it's a sticker that you sign that they can order to put inside of their book.
Yeah, and I've written some funny things for people. Yeah.
You can get it personalized within reason. So
we never had to reject anyone's, right?
Somebody actually did ask in one of these question boxes, what's the most ridiculous one we've ever had? And I don't think I would not give away somebody's private message in general, but I don't think there was one where I was like, I'm not doing
some
that.
Some of them we were like, what do you think this means? But it was like nothing that we... It was like inside joke stuff, probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was that. So
I've probably written, like, to personal books I've given friends, I've probably written more things that have been, like, scandalous or whatever. But
okay, last. What's each of our Dunkin' orders? So
Dunkin's like this love-hate relationship for me, because I think they have an excellent product, but they just suck so bad. Like, the ones around here do anyway.
Yeah.
Every time I get it, my order's wrong, so I just don't even get it anymore.
My go-to is I get a medium iced coffee with almond milk and the coconut shots. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I would, like, I really love their dark roast. I love their pumpkin is the best out of any coffee place when they have it.
So from August to November, I have only pumpkin. And then every other time of year, I have the almond milk with coconut.
Yeah, and like I can't get any food there because nothing's gluten-free, except they used to have a gluten-free brownie that was packaged that
it was
used to get
delicious.
I don't know why they got rid of it, because there's nothing there that we could eat now, which is annoying. So yeah, they're called I think Dunkin's coffee is just so good.
You can eat the hash browns, I think,
and we go every morning because the lady that works there knows Gabe's order, so his order always gets right. But I mean, I'll let me tell you some stories I've had at that place. One time I ordered a hot tea with cream and sugar, and I got a cup with hot water with cream poured in the water.
No tea.
That was it. No tea. Just, it was just that.
That's
another,
the best is
another time.
We drove like a half hour away from
it. Oh, yeah, because their coffee and tea is like so hot, you can't drink it for an hour. So I finally, like, it cools down and I go to drink it and I'm like, oh, cool, there's just no tea. I couldn't even have returned it if I wanted to. And then recently I got a matcha, right? And it was like there was no matcha. It was like this pale green milk. Like, oh, they just gave me the rest of the scoop at the bottom.
You
and,
know what?
And
I'd like, prefer that to Starbucks, who puts like 5 scoops of the matcha in, which you're not supposed to have that much. And then I feel like it just tastes like lead.
No, it's good.
No.
I can't deal with like... But who wants to drink like a huge thing of just like straight up milk?
I mean,
like,
I would. But
it was not that water. I'm telling you, it was too watered down. It was like the color of like not even mint chocolate chip. It's like way lighter than that, right?
Let me tell you.
It just was not right.
Yesterday, though, when we left the nail salon, I got an iced coffee and we went to that like Spanish grocery store. I got some coconut horchata thing and I dumped that in the coffee, and that was the most heavenly drink I've ever had.
Yeah, I'm going to try that next week. That's like my new favorite grocery store. They have like everything.
Yeah.
Because like, especially like Mexican food, a lot of it is gluten-free naturally because it's made with corn.
Oh my God.
Like,
everything we bought
those,
there.
Like
was those, so
like,
delicious.
Papooses and stuff, they're so good.
Yeah, I made their arepas yesterday for lunch. I'm actually going to make one for lunch today, too. They're so good. And the, oh my God, the horchata was so delicious. But we'll have to go back there like tomorrow because I really was.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for your questions. Stay tuned for our external exam with author Caroline Crampton coming later this week. It's all about hypochondria, which, you know, is tough for me to listen to, but I have to admit I am pretty much a hypochondriac. So thanks.
Thank you for listening to Mother Knows Death. As a reminder, my training is as a pathologist assistant. I have a master's level education and specialize in anatomy and pathology education. I am not a doctor and I have not diagnosed or treated anyone, dead or alive, without the assistance of a licensed medical doctor. This show, my website, and social media accounts are designed to educate and inform people based on my experience working in pathology so they can make healthier decisions regarding their life and well-being. Always remember that science is changing every day and the opinions expressed in this episode are based on my knowledge of those subjects at the time of publication. If you are having a medical problem, have a medical question, or are having a medical emergency, please contact your physician or visit an urgent care center, emergency room, or hospital. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Mother Knows Death on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get podcasts. Thanks.